So we turn to the 15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, and well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And he said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. We've heard some things about the public testimony this last 2 days. And we have had the expression repeated over and over again, "Yes, Lord." But here we have an expression, "Truth, Lord." Truth, Lord. Which we'd like to add to the expression, "Yes, Lord." You know, at the very beginning of Scripture, we have the fall of man. And every man is in that position, a fallen creature. Now, I have thoroughly agreed with what has been said this afternoon, and I don't want to sidetrack from it, but I want to add this. I want to go back to the very basis of it all. And that is what man is before God. And that's what we have here. In this 15th chapter of Matthew, we have a part of the order of the public testimony that has been mentioned. We might just recall for a moment, in the 11th chapter, John the Baptist is mentioned, as has been mentioned this afternoon. And it says, "After that the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it." Following this, we find the Lord Jesus, upon being rejected, he says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast revealed these things unto babes." Now, babes don't have very much strength, do they? And that's the first picture of those that God is taking up for blessing. Without strength. Now, the next picture we have, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's a picture of that little company that's going to form into the church finally. Those who are in the place of acknowledging what they are before God without any strength whatsoever. And is this not connected with truth in the inward parts? Now we have also the Lord rejected by the elders of Israel in the 12th chapter, and immediately he recalls the prophecies of Isaiah for the Gentiles. Now, what claim do the Gentiles have upon God? None whatsoever. And I dare say that almost all in this company this afternoon are Gentiles. You know, it's a good thing, brethren, to discover what we are and where we are in ourselves. Because that's important if there is to be a testimony at all. What do we have in the 13th chapter? Well, we have the Lord preaching by the seashore. And we have the treasure in the vessel. We have the pearl, we have the fishes. All the good results. On whose part? On God's part. And so, as far as we've come then, in our remarks, we don't find anything of man whatsoever. It's all of God. In the public testimony. And then we have the 100-fold and the 60-fold and the 30-fold in the 14th chapter. All of God come down to a little testimony of 30-fold on the earth. And we find Peter sinking, as it were, in the sea. He tried to walk on the water. And we find the arms of the Lord about him. That's where we are today. And if it weren't for the arms of the Lord Jesus about us, there would be no testimony whatsoever. Not one bit, brethren. Man may brag, if he pleases, about truth and what he has, but if it weren't for the arms of Jesus, around his people today, there would be no testimony. In the 16th chapter, we have the church. And that's what's in view. The material that will form the church. And so in the chapter we've read, I want to call attention to a few points. The 15th chapter. We have in this chapter, first of all, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or to be accurate, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Now, this is the highest religious authority there is on the earth at that time. And what are they doing? They are accusing that little company that is gathered around the Lord Jesus. They're picking faults with this company. What they are doing. Now we find here very definitely that the Lord Jesus does not approve of this. Especially when he's told about his people's faults. You'll recall the time of Elijah when he spoke to God against his people. He lost his mission. He was replaced by Elisha. God will not tolerate anyone speaking to him against his people. And what's more, we're living in a day of weakness, and the Spirit of God shows us in this chapter the spirit of those who find their interest in speaking against God's people. Finding faults with God's people. Setting up rules for God's people. This is not of God. We're living in the days of weakness. And we find that the disciples themselves here were ignorant of God's mind, and they have to ask the Lord what his mind is. The Pharisees know all about it, they think. They can criticize. They are the religious leaders. But what does the Lord have to say about all this? He brings out what is seen on the outside. That which man sees in religion. In contrast to truth in the inward parts. Now, it's well enough to have an outward form. Ephesus had that in Revelation. There wasn't a thing outwardly that was wrong in the church of Ephesus, and yet the Lord Jesus saw something wrong. Why? Because they had forgotten left their first love. Oh, how we look on the outward appearance of things. We don't realize that things have to be right inside. Inside. Now, what we've had before us in these meetings, we've had the person of the Lord Jesus. His coming, that's true. But it's his person. And you know, beloved, if you and I are taken up of the Lord Jesus, we're not going to find faults with our brethren. We're going to see Christ in our brethren, is what we'll see. And we're not going to make rules for our brethren. You know, Peter, in the last of John, he said, "What shall this man do?" And the Lord had to say, "Well, Peter, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Don't get your eye on John, Peter. Follow me. I believe this is very important for us in a day like this. You know, when Joseph's brethren had a famine, they began to look upon one another. That's the natural result of famine. famine in the soul to look upon one another. Well, we have in this chapter then, the Lord tells these Pharisees that they have set aside the commandment of God and they have made traditions of their own and they're insisting on others to follow them. Now that's the danger today. Let's be careful, brethren, that we not invent traditions for our brethren to follow. We have the clear, plain Word of God. And that's what we have to enjoy, and it's Christ. That's what it's all about. It's Christ. Now we have the disciples inquiring what the Lord means. He has spoken to the multitude in the 10th verse, and he speaks about how man is defiled. Not what goes in his mouth, but what comes out of the heart. That's how man is defiled. What's important we have here is truth in the inward parts. Why? Because we're going to see in this chapter the material that's going to form the church. And that's the present testimony, the assembly. Truth in the inward parts. Now in the 15th verse, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Scripture's written in parables. It's written in a way so that once the spiritual mind lays hold of it, it'll never be forgotten. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? A good word for us. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now in these verses following, he gives a description of the natural heart, which is true of every person in this room, with no exceptions. You may not be willing to accept this. It's true of every person in this room, in the sight of God. There isn't one good thing that proceeds from the natural heart, not one good thing. This takes us all the way back to the garden, doesn't it? Where the mischief began. The wages of sin is death. We were singing that little hymn at the beginning about redemption. Oh, what a blessed thing that is. And we need, brethren, to realize what we are in the presence of God. And as we called attention to the fact that in the public testimony that God is taking up into this, in this world today, we find it's all His work, every bit of it. The little babes, those that are heavy laden, that which He regards as gems, as a pearl, fish in the vessels, it's all His work. And as we notice that the church is now cradled in His arm, the testimony down here, or there wouldn't be any. That doesn't leave much room for pride, does it? And here's where we are in this chapter, naturally in ourselves. Except for grace, this is the picture of man. Corrupt to the very roots. We find that David had to confess this in the 51st Psalm, that he goes right back to the beginning and he says the whole thing is bad. And if there's to be any blessing before God, it'll have to be truth in the inward parts. And there's where we begin to learn wisdom in a testimony here on earth. Now we get an example of this in the latter part or the middle of this chapter. A lovely picture, a wonderful picture. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Well, the picture's getting worse yet, because Tyre and Sidon belonged to a cursed race, Canaanites, children of Canaan, under a curse. Here's a woman who's under a curse. She doesn't have anything to stand on like the Pharisees, traditional religion. And yet she appeals to the Lord on the ground of who He is. He's the Son of David. The Pharisees don't do that, you know, though they know it all. But He can't answer her on this ground. He has to answer her on entirely different ground because she has no claims whatsoever. And I say again, this is the basis. This is the ground upon which the church is formed. Not on the ground of traditional religion, but on the ground of truth in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. He answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." The disciples didn't understand. No, they didn't understand. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And that's where the Lord was sent. He was sent to his own people, Israel. Now, if he's going to act, he's going to have to act on a different ground than that upon which he's been sent. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now we have this woman coming on an entirely different basis. She doesn't claim anything whatsoever, except the fact that He is the Creator, and she comes to her Creator in her need. That's the basis upon which she comes. Now, this is the way the sinner has to come to God. And I mention these things because we've had the testimony before us. And this is something we need to remember, the basis upon which we have been brought into that blessing. We had absolutely no claims. We have nothing to stand on today, beloved, except the sovereign grace of God. That's all. The sovereign grace of God. But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Dogs. Now he's going to bring her right to the very place where she is. She doesn't know, really, until now, where she belongs. Right to the very bottom. All the history of the chapter is true of her. True of every man. There's not one good thing inside of here. Not one good thing. Dogs. Now notice what she says. She said, "Truth, Lord." Truth, Lord. She's come to the very bottom. She said, "It's all true." I wonder if we realize this, beloved, that this is where we are naturally before God except for sovereign grace. Truth, Lord.
truth, Lord.
You know, this is where blessing begins in our souls. And I believe the one who has really come to the bottom and realizes that there's absolutely nothing in the first man is the one who begins to realize the blessing. Nothing good whatsoever. Nothing. And we say this afternoon, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Have we come down where we're ready for the blessing? Well, she gets the blessing. I understand, I've been told, that it really should read little dogs. That is, without our dogs. Dogs are not allowed in the house. But the little puppies come in and pick up the crumbs under the table. Oh, what a picture. Here's someone who comes because of their need. And they bring nothing except the character of a cursed race, that's all. Does this not magnify the grace of God? Isn't heaven going to ring with praises for those who have realized that they're in such a position as this? I'm sure it will. And what is the next chapter about? We're not going into it. It's a church. This is the material, beloved, that forms a church. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.